Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. by becoming a congregational sponsor. When your church pledges $1,000, we'll publicize your congregation on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues, etc. journal. Learn more on the support donate page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Become an Issues, etc. congregational sponsor. I think it would be underselling the book of Proverbs if we summarized its message as be wise, don't be foolish. There's really more to that foolish part than first meets the eye. Not only are you not to be the fool, you're not to behave like him or think like him or believe like him, but you are not to listen to him in particular, no matter what he's saying, because whether he is flattering you or whether he is buttering you up, he is speaking lies. Don't listen to the fool. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. It's time to continue our study of the book of Proverbs with Pastor Jonathan Fisk. We will conclude Proverbs 26 and get into Proverbs 27. Pastor Fisk is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Rockford, Illinois. He's creator of the Mad Christian YouTube channel and podcast and lead writer for the Mad Christian Mondays. And he's author of several books, including his latest, Without Flesh. Jonathan, welcome back.
Good to be back, Todd. Thanks.
In the course of talking about this particular chapter of Proverbs, we have met several different kinds of fools. Who have we met so far, and who will we meet today?
Right. So it begins with this original fool, the kasil, which is one of the major words for fool in Proverbs, although there are others that come up sooner. But it's kind of the main word for fool. And this is one who you need to pity, right? This is someone who is blind with regards to wisdom, who can't see what would make their life better. And ultimately, this is about faith in the true God and so forth. But the fool is this first level. The fool has a major problem, though. The fool listens to the etzel, which is maybe translated as lazy man or slothful man. The critic is another way to think of the exhale, the critic. There's always something that could go wrong in every plan, so let's not do anything. That's the critic, and his words, the fool is not wise enough to cease to listen to, so he heeds those words. And then the critic now, this lazy man, he leads into this section in which we hear about the talebearer, the one who brings news from far away, and that's kind of the focal point of the rest of the section we're going to look at today. It's the rest of 26 and then a good chunk of 27. And the talebearer as a character is under the category of fool, but understand it is the lazy man who listens to the talebearer. The talebearer may himself be a lazy man. He certainly is a fool. So what does that mean? It really means that there are lies out there in the world, that one should not believe everything that they hear just because. And that with really repentance, one is to come to the straight and the narrow path, the path which Christ Jesus has delivered to us, both in the Proverbs and in, of course, the New Testament gospel. So with that then, last week we looked at chapter 26, verses 20 through 22. To close, I want to review those to open. It says this, it says, where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. As charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles. They go down into the inmost body. Just kind of backwards there. Gossip sure tastes good, and liars make use of gossip. If you can cut out the liar who's bringing the gossip, well, then the trouble will likely cease as well. And so if anyone's near a Bible and wants to open to Proverbs 26 and 27, I really want to, maybe if they make notes in the Bible with a pencil or something, circle that word talebearer and then look at verse 23. So in verse 20 is the word talebearer. Verse 23, which is what we're going to look at next, the first phrase is fervent lips, fervent lips. So who is the talebearer? He's someone with fervent lips. And then we're going to close today with verse 10 of chapter 27. You flip over there, the last two words are far away. So fervent lips from far away. That's the talebearer's temptation, right? And the wisdom here that we're going to walk away with today is that we want to beware the fervent-lipped fool from far away. We don't want to let him tell us what to be or think, because here's the danger. Verse 23 of chapter 26 says this: fervent lips with a wicked heart are like earthenware covered with silver dross. Now, if you saw a really finely worked, crafted piece of metal, imagine it being whatever you want. It doesn't have to be like a pot or a cup or something like that, or it could be a statue out in your front yard. I don't know, whatever. Imagine the most amazing looking silver statue you've ever seen, only it's laying with such a weak veneer of the silver, a weak plate, that the dirt they use to pack it on the inside will easily break and the whole thing will crumble and shatter. Well, that's exciting news from somebody who has a wicked heart. That's any type of knowledge, really, coming at you from someone who has a wicked heart. Now, I think maybe the chief thing then to recognize here is there's people who have wicked hearts. And this isn't just a matter of, I'm a sinner, you're a sinner, we go to church, we all say we're sinners, all men have wicked hearts. That's true, yeah? But we're at church because we repent, because we don't like our wicked hearts. And the danger is that fervent lips with a wicked heart, someone who is eager to speak with a wicked heart, well, they look like one thing, silver, but they are another thing, dirt. And then in this, I think it would seem obvious, it should be, and I speak to myself with a little condescension here, like wake up, Fisk. Like, the devil tells lies. That's his game. His whole game is to sound bigger than he is. His whole game is to sound better than he is from the beginning. I mean, everything that he ever does is lie. He doesn't tell a word of truth. Every truth is 99% true, 1% lie. And that lie is always there. So why are we surprised? Why are we surprised? That's the modern plight, is that we've forgotten the devil tells lies. Yeah. So then under that heading, I think, verse 23, the rest of chapter 26 pretty easily falls into place. And then there's another chunk that moves into chapter 27. But verses 24 and 25 kind of hang together. And they say this: he who hates disguises it with his lips and lays up deceit within himself. Remember the silver statue with the mud on the inside, right? It's hidden. What's hidden? Hate. A lie is spoken to cover hate. Huh? So the deceit then is laying up within oneself. And verse 25, when he speaks kindly, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Now, again, this is wisdom that I think is woefully lacking in modern thinking. I remember being at a city meeting this past year. I went to a local meeting at the Maine Police Department to listen to the national talking points for the Democratic Party get shouted at the mostly multi-ethnic police staff, and to try to see what kind of response our local authorities would have to the accusations of undue police violence. And indeed, I'm not going to say that there's never been police violence in Rockford. I don't think that's the case either. But it was fascinating to be there and to watch the national story control the local story so dominantly. And in this moment, there was a point where the mayor of Rockford was speaking about how there's a way to report various types of misconduct. I can't remember what kind of hotline it was for what, but it had to do with filing complaints of some kind. And the words that I remember, though, so distinctly was someone had said, you know, asked the mayor a question: do you think those are false reports? Do you think people are calling and lying and making the numbers differently? And what he said was, oh, no, I don't think anyone would ever lie. And I wrote it down and I just sat there. I thought, oh, we're done. Our city's done. The man who leads us doesn't believe liars exist. How can he rule? How can he see? How can he teach? Now, I think he maybe wouldn't want to be held too accountable to those words. I haven't used his name today for that reason. But I think the point, again, it's easy to forget that outside of Christians of goodwill, regenerate and hungry for more of the word and sacraments of Jesus, ready for this world to end, ready for him to return, glad to say goodbye to the veil of tears, outside of that group, there are people whose consciences are seared, who will disguise hate, and in disguising their hate will lie for their own benefit. And you want to learn to not believe them when they lie. That's verses 24 and 25. Verses 26 and 27, once you know there is a liar, well, they're about the judgment. So this is the important thing to know too. The wisdom of knowing there are liars and that you should not believe them doesn't mean you never will. It doesn't mean you're going to live a perfect life. It means you're going to live a life in fear of the judgment. And with that fear being directed to the crucified cross, you know, Jesus, our Lord, his blood, his wounds, right? That's the proper place for your fear of judgment. But others don't have that. And we should be aware of what they don't have and what's going to come on them, because that's part of the gospel. Hell is part of the gospel. Salvation from hell is the gospel. So verses 26 and 27 say this then. It says, though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. Whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and he who rolls a stone will have it rolled back on him. So remember, we're talking about the liar who is the tale bearer, the one who brings, we'll see, news from far away that isn't always true and is for his benefit. But here's the reality of the great cosmic judgment of Jesus. Whatever he covers with his deceit, the hatred that he has, it's going to be revealed before, it says, the assembly. I love to New Testamentize that word and say the church, right? But I think this is indeed the church victorious on the day of resurrection. There is nobody who lies to you and deceives you who will not be held accountable for it. As a Christian, as a member of the body of Christ, no weapon forged against you shall prevail on that day and in that day. And it is faith in that reality now that makes one wise to turn away from the false way, right? To walk away from the liar as he lies, and to see that he's just digging a pit that he himself will fall into. Now, this is karma. I think it's fair to say that. I don't plan to teach that Hinduism is true or any such nonsense as that. But the idea popularly categorized in the word karma in American English is what goes around comes around. And you can know this is just true for the evil man. It's not true for the Christian. The Christian does not have karma. The Christian has salvation. Yeah. But the rest of the world, karma, what goes around comes around. And the liar who stores up hatred in his heart and deceives you with his lips, don't believe him and don't follow him. He's going to fall into a pit.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk is our guest. Well, that puts me in mind of whether or not we should be listening at all to the fool. And if we do, are we partaking in his wicked deed?
This is Molly Hemingway of The Federalist. Join me, my husband Mark of Real Clear Investigations, Dr. Robert George of Princeton University, Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop, and others for the 2021 Making the Case Conference, Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. You'll find a conference schedule and you can register at issuesetc.org.
We confess that the church is one holy Catholic and apostolic, and yet, as we look at the church here in 2021, it hardly seems one holy Catholic apostolic church. How do we come to grips with this reality? Is the church one? How is she united? How do we look to her head, Jesus Christ? Well, this question and many others are discussed in the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness. It's all about the church. To order your copy, visit cph.org/witness and visit our website, witness.lcms.org, to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas is now enrolling for the coming school year. What makes us unique? A confessional Lutheran school offering a classical education for preschool through the 12th grades. Faith Lutheran School features rigorous classes that incorporate a focus on wisdom, truth, virtue, and the historic Christian faith. Live online classes are also available for high school students worldwide. To learn more about Faith Lutheran School or to submit an application, visit flsplano.org. That's flsplano.org.
Christian greeting card makers, gift shop owners, laser cutters, church banner creators, ornamentalists, poster purveyors, jewelry designers, fine artists, hymn writers, wood carvers, UV bed printers, and authors all love Issues Etc. And you'll find our work at adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.
Sanctifying your hobbies with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas. Concordia Lutheran, Wilmington, Delaware. Grace Lutheran, Clarksville, Tennessee. Emmanuel Lutheran, Appleton, Minnesota. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Redeemer Lutheran, Marshalltown, Iowa. St. John Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio. And Trinity Lutheran, Savannah, Georgia. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Pastor Jonathan Fisk is leading us in a teaching on Proverbs 26 and 27. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks to Pastor Paul Mummy and St. John Lutheran Church in Sycamore, Illinois, for recently becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Sponsorship benefits include publicizing your confessional Lutheran church on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Now, if your congregation begins a new fiscal year on July 1st, please ask them to pledge $1,000 to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. For more information on congregational sponsorship, check out the Support Donate page at issuesetc.org or give us a call, 618-223-8385. Jonathan, before the break, you were talking about not listening to this particular brand of fool. And I'm wondering, if we do engage this kind of fool, listen to what they say, the flattery that hides deceit, am I partaking in their wicked deeds?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, you're just giving time and energy, ultimately, your willpower and your spirit over to the devil. Not in a way in which you've lost your faith. It's just you're not really going to benefit from this spiritually, right? It's going to do the opposite. It's going to suck you, as opposed to building you up, you know, the language of the New Testament there. And then what you said there really leads well into this next section, which probably could be broken down into smaller bits, but chapter 26, verse 28, and then into chapter 27, all the way through verse 8, I'm going to read these as a whole, but they're about the same idea then. I mean, if somebody's flattering you and not telling the truth, why would you ever listen to them? Huh? So it says, verse 28, a lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips. A stone is heavy, and sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel, and anger a torment, but who is able to stand before jealousy? Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, and the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. A satisfied soul loathes the honeycomb, but to a hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. Like a bird that wanders from its nest is a man who wanders from his place. Now, what that whole section does is it moves us from the idea of flattery to the idea of me leaving where I am to find something I don't have, and that being like unto a baby bird out of the nest, like unto a bird without protection or safety. To seek things other than what God has given me is to covet. And the talebearer ultimately brings the flattery that makes one covet. And that leads, it leads all the way to this. It talks about how then, you know, once they've flattered you, you will boast. And then in your boasting, when you find it doesn't work out, you'll become angry. Your anger will be the kind of jealousy that will not listen to rebuke or turn or pivot or change your ways. And at that time, hopefully you can remember that those who are trying to help you are your friends, and a rebuke from a friend is better than a lie from an enemy. But it's likely that you're listening to the enemy and his sweet, sweet speaking. Yeah. And so the whole section again is about moving from the flattery of lips into the spiritlessness of one who is coveting, who does not have even what he has, because his eyes and his heart are somewhere else. So this then is still just a big part of, I would say, chapter 26, 23 through 27, 10. It's all about this talebearer and the fervent lip, right? So how does your lip cease from becoming the fervent lip? And well, don't listen to flattery. Don't boast about tomorrow. Let another man praise you, right? There it is. Some very basic things to just consider as a better path or as a good path. And then coming out of this discontent built by the talebearer, we have this, I think it's a capstone, 9 and 10, which say this, is chapter 27 again, 9 and 10. 9 says, ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. Do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in the day of calamity. Better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. So here again, to kind of conclude the section on lips and talebearing, is this idea of locality, the neighbor, the near one. And it even says that the person who is near you, if they are near you, they are better to be with and talk to than the person who is far away, even if it's a brother. Now, I was saying in the day of calamity, you don't want to try to travel over land and sea to your brother when your neighbor can be with you to fight. That's true too. You know, reality is fractal. Reality looks the same on lots of different levels. It's not chaos and it's not complex. It is designed. And so in this final section is encouraging us to see that local words, local realities, local lips, my lips with my family, and then with my congregation as a people are better than all the stories that might come across from ever and far away and whatnot that I would contest in our modern age. We really do let dominate most of our psyche for much of our day. I was talking with a friend today and he mentioned how the news this morning said this and that and oh my goodness, and I can't believe it. And I said to him, that's why you have to turn it off. And you have to open the Psalter first and get something that's Jesus first. And then I told him, subscribe to Mad Christian Mondays by going to redfist.com/newsletter, because you'll get all the news you want every Monday without having to watch the rest of it. But the point again is, you know, you want to tune it out so that you can hear what God is saying that will always apply to where you are more closely. Jesus Christ has already given you all that you need right near. And that wisdom allows you to say, I don't need the talebearer, nor to listen to the criticisms of the critic who says we can't do it, and I will not be a fool. I will listen to what the words of the Lord have to say. And so then verse 11 of chapter 27 goes into, I think, a new section, and I'm just going to try to say why I think that. And that's because it begins with the word, my son, the phrase, my son, which throughout the early part of the book of Proverbs is a marker for either paragraph or chapter or stanza headings all the way up until chapter 8. And so I'm really looking forward to getting into chapter 27, 11, and following next week. But for now, you know, the fervent lip from far away, unless it's bringing you the good news of the gospel of peace, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity, and will return to roll up this veil of tears into a paradise everlasting, if it's not fervent about that, and instead it's just about, well, flattery, pride, fear, all these things which the devil likes to tell you he has control of, well, then you need to turn it off. Just turn it off. Click that thing off and open your Psalter. Read a proverb.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk is pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Rockford, Illinois. He's creator of the Mad Christian YouTube channel and podcast and lead writer for the Mad Christian Mondays and author of several books, including his latest, Without Flesh. We'll post a link to Mad Christian and Without Flesh on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Jonathan, thank you very much.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure.
Thursday on Issues Etc., we'll have Dr. Andrew Walker answer the question, should churches discipline Christian politicians? And we'll discuss a pastor's responsibility with Pastor Roy Askins of the Lutheran Witness magazine. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri is a proud sponsor of Issues Etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.